Hey folks, Captain Kevin Favor, and welcome to the Outdoor Show podcast brought to you by Ag South. They are specialists in land financing in Southeast Georgia. They make loans for small and large acreage, hunting property, timberland. They even do home mortgages and construction. Look, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know Jeff and I own property in Georgia. We both used Ag South for our financing, and they were great, and we couldn't be happier. Here's a cool part about Ag South. They have competitive rates, and they pay an average of 25% of the interest back every year in patronage. So let's just say your loan's for $300,000 at 6.5% at 20 years. That means you get back $2,770 a year. They write you a check for that. You call them at 844-AG-SOUTH or go to agsouthfc.com. Ag South, really good people who really know land.
Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Favor and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening and welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Favor, sitting with Captain Scott Shank in our little studio.
We do.
Yeah, we're good.
We're good. Life's good. We're 6 feet apart from one another.
Yeah.
And
social distance?
Yeah. So we are.
Yeah.
We're doing great.
We're good.
God, dude, are we talking about pretty or what?
You and I talked about this. We've been fishing all week, and, you know, it gets – this is the time of year when we get busy, and we're still pretty busy.
We are,
you know?
Relatively speaking.
I mean, you know, people are still a little apprehensive, and I get it. But – Scott, honestly, prettiest March I've ever seen.
Well, I know you didn't. Did you see me? I had shorts on today.
No, yeah, it was ugly.
I know. I got to tell you, stop. So, anyhow, when I'm coming down to the dock this morning, I have Chuck and Chuck on the boat this morning. It's always comical with them. So, anyhow, Chuck yells up from the top, "Are those your legs? Or are you riding a chicken?" I was like, "Damn it, man!" I said, "I just walk right into that one." So anyhow, that was the joke of the morning. But yes, folks, I finally got rid of the jeans.
Uh huh.
It was only 87 degrees out there today.
Yeah.
But with that being said, still, Kevin.
Uh huh.
If you start in the morning, I'm still going to have on jeans or something because those gnats are going to eat you a new one.
No, you know they haven't been that bad.
Not this week. We've had a good little breeze.
Yeah,
in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, I've worn shorts all week, and they haven't. Yeah, they're there. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But going back, I mean, generally speaking, this time of year, I will have let's just say 20 to 25 trips booked.
Oh, yeah,
in March.
All day.
You know what I'm saying? And I'll end up doing 15.
I'm gonna run half.
At the most. Mm-hmm. But this year, The weather's been unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been as pretty as I've ever seen it in March, and we're already starting to see signs of, you know, I'm just telling you right now, next week they're going to be catching cobia here.
Guess what I caught today? Two of them.
Ladyfish.
Yes, sir. I caught two ladyfish today.
You told me.
Oh, I did? Oh, damn. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah. So
Spanish everywhere?
Spanish everywhere. There's a lot of bluefish around,
mm-hmm.
and – And so, you know, from there, it's getting to the point to where we're starting really seeing spring fishing.
Yep. And it is. You start seeing the water starting to warm up. I had 72, I think.
I had 74 at the end of the day today.
I had 76 up in North River.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I looked back at it, I went, whoa.
Yeah.
Where did this come from?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's where I started creek this morning. I had 72 in a creek.
We talk about this on this show and the outdoor show. Fish don't know that it's March.
Uh-uh.
The only thing they know is water temperature and bait.
Bait and barometer change or whatever. Gets
right,
little scales
right, right. But this
up.
Time of year, you know as well as I do, you go from 65 to 72.
Uh-huh.
In a week,
uh-huh.
those fish are hauling butt up that beach and from the offshore to the inshore.
Cobia-wise, and in the same thing, where we've been concentrating in the creeks, you're going to start seeing more and more of your redfish and stuff like that starting to show up out on the main ditch.
Yep.
You know, where Leon and all that, from in St. Augustine, kind of from like Pine Island North. That's kind of a different atmosphere.
Yeah.
Okay. A little more shallower banks. You know, they don't have that much deep water like we have south of that. So, yes, he's been seeing those fish pushing the banks and stuff like that. By the way, that was way cool on Monday, too.
Yeah.
Whoa. I felt like Leon. I was like, damn, I'm in a bay boat. Look at these fish.
Yeah, I know.
I was all excited. Cool? I had that tingly feeling.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
There were schools after schools after schools.
Isn't that awesome?
It was crazy.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Yep. Yep. That was really cool. But it's been an interesting week simply for the fact that we've had good tides, you know, and it's you just get a totally different feel when you're fishing right now, you know, and I keep telling myself it's only the third week of March, you know, March 17th, and you know, I always have a tendency to jump that gun, but if this weather holds, and it looks like it's going to, looks like it's going to be beautiful. You know, you're talking southeast all day today and southeast tomorrow, and only 10 to 15.
Right.
You know, it's just that water's getting warmer and warmer and warmer.
Because we had a really good run of big drum fish.
Yep.
The big black drum.
Yep.
They caught them offshore really good last week. Caught a few more, caught a few in the river earlier in the week. I have seen some boats up there fishing and stuff like that, but I mean, it sounds like it's starting to quiet down a little bit. So that
I shouldn't say that. You're still going to be able to catch them, but it's
nothing like it was a week, 10 days ago.
I'm already getting reports from Fernandina.
Let's put it that way.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I got pictures and they're catching them up in Fernandina. So, if they've made it up that far, but again, that goes back to our point. We're on a fishing schedule. We're way ahead.
Yeah, that's the only scary thing.
Well, you know, it is what it is. You just got to, you know.
But I believe on Sunday we're supposed to see just a real light northeaster with a little bit of rain on Monday.
Yeah.
We have a little, but I'm saying there's no huge temperature swing.
Yeah, there's no temperature swing.
Tuesday it's right back to 80 degrees.
Yeah.
It's one day where you're going to have a little northeast flow.
I'm just telling you that middle of next week, the end of next week, you can run that beach and find a ray.
I 100% agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, no. We talked about it today, and the reports that we got that the water was, you know, pretty kind of nasty, and I still heard that from Guy Spear that went offshore today,
right.
Justin that went offshore today, at least on the party grounds up to 12, 15 miles. Inshore, they were still saying it's kind of – which it's hard to believe because the inlet is just slap gorgeous.
It's unbelievably beautiful.
So I don't I guess it picks up, but they said it was – not chocolatey by any means.
What'd they catch?
Nothing.
What do you mean nothing?
A couple legal redfish out there, and all the snapper you wanted.
Well, so they had a great day.
No, I'm not saying that. Yeah, but I mean, party ground's not. I'm saying if
they didn't bring anything,
they didn't bring
home.
Anything home.
Right.
A couple of lane snappers, kind of thing, and you know, a couple sea bass here and there, a trigger here, fish here and there. But most of they just had a little 4 hours. They weren't.
Right.
They weren't going anything but out to like 12 miles.
Yeah.
Which I'm interested to see. Captain Alex Miller's got an 8-hour tomorrow, so I'm kind of interested to what his – he's going to go to 100 foot.
Yeah, and I know that my neighbor Johnny went Wednesday, and, you know, the Dorothy Louise, the Desco, this, that, and the other, and he said bait. He said it looked lively, but, you know, they were cobia fishing, and they didn't do anything, so –
Well, did you ask Johnny what the water temperature was?
I did not. Just I should have. But I know that the pogies are here. And the only reason, and folks, I'm saying that in a way that I haven't caught any. I haven't seen any. But there's no pelicans at the dock anymore.
I had one pelican hanging out with
him. Yeah, yeah. And I talked to Captain Kirk Waltz, and there's pogies in Mayport, for sure. They caught them and went fishing with them. You know, those guys, they love to go around there and catch pogies and go back to the rocks, which
and
is
catch reds and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there's got to be bait on our beach, and so tomorrow, I mean, I'm gonna put the bottom rods on the boat.
Okay.
And if I can catch pogies,
I'm going flounder
fishing. Yeah, you know what I mean. I'm gonna go see what's happening and. Wouldn't be surprised to see a cobia in 80 feet of water.
No. Yep. When you get out there and, when you get out to 80 feet of water, the only thing that I don't like to hear is that the bottom fishing that the guys are doing around our local stuff, them damn sandbar sharks are back.
Already?
Already. They were losing snappers to them. Sure were.
Oh, my gosh.
Good ones, too.
Yeah, that you're right. We just didn't have much of a winter, bro.
I don't know what to do. Those critters have gotten so used, again, folks, to the party grounds, which we're talking about, all that 9 Mile stuff, the Pop Warner, all that stuff around here that, I mean, Kevin will attest to it. We played hell trying to get a fish to the boat alive.
Anything.
I mean, as soon as he hit it and took off for a run, you look behind the boat, and it looked like a, Shamu hitting the water or whatever. I mean, he was all over that kingfish.
And they are so aggressive.
That and fast? I didn't think a big old shark like the 400-pound shark would be that fast.
Yeah, they
he fast.
Yeah, they catch
those
kingfish.
He can take down a kingfish.
Yep. I mean, I had to beat a cobia.
But, I mean, our little tiger tooth buddies there.
Oh.
And Guy Spears saw him today, and he's just like he is. He's snaggletooth. He's got leaders hanging all over his face. Still that same old 12-foot tiger shark.
Doesn't even bother
him. He left. Yeah. Oh, he goes,
He's just used
to it. Oh, look, dust cloud. That must be an anchor hitting the bottom.
Yeah.
Go over here and hang out for a little while.
Yeah. Y'all catch one of these.
Catch one.
Yeah.
Give me my dinner. I'm tired of working at it. Hell, he probably can't open up his jaws with all the mono and steel leader he's got hanging from his teeth.
That's exactly right.
That is a big shark too. That one ain't no joke.
No.
But he came up and had a short cobia on it. The guy said it came up behind the back of the boat and there was a remora and a cobia. He had a stare at it long enough to understand which one to throw at because he said the remora was bigger than a cobia was.
Boy.
I said, oh geez.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but that's not good news. I mean, I was just—I didn't hear that. We were all quite depressed.
I talked to.
Yeah, because generally speaking, that's a July August thing. You know, we kind of get through May and June with no cutas, no sharks. Mm-hmm. You know,
they're there already.
Oh boy,
gonna be a long summer.
You're gonna have to fish with her or not.
Fish the beach.
Yeah, that's right. I'm good with that.
I'm good with that.
I'm good with that, but. The inshore fishing's been interesting this week. It's, like I said, I've had a couple really good days.
Uh-huh.
Today, for some reason, it was definitely my day in the tank.
Dang, you had like three of them in a row. What more? I mean, gosh.
Well, I just.
You know that it comes that way, too. I'd rather have a good day, a mediocre, a minor good one, but not like.
Yeah.
Like. Kick butt days for two in a row, and then you go, this is really good people I got, really nice people, and you zero.
There's
nothing worse than in a river.
I know we need to take a break, but Scott, when I tell you this, I'm not exaggerating. On the first cast, we caught a 26-inch red. The first cast. And I looked at Robin, and I said, I hate to say this. I said, but that's really good or the kiss of death. And she's like, what? I said, I've done this before. And dude, we did not catch another fish.
I know.
Not one. Not another. I pulled the hooks on another red and I lost a blue fish. That was it.
Well, you got to start telling. That's what I tell all my clients. I am kind of superstitious.
Right.
I said, you never cast on your first cast. I just want you to take it, open up the bail, and just flip it 5 feet and let it hit the water. As long as the bait hits the water, that's considered a cast. Then when you reel up and you make your real cast, then that's your second cast. It's not your first cast.
And I know she's not listening, okay? But it was the worst cast you've ever seen, dude.
Okay, she's not listening?
Yeah, she threw it 6 feet, splashed it. I'm not kidding.
And you're telling me the cork went down?
It drifted 2 feet, went down, and I went, holy cow. You know, because she was nowhere near.
Just blows away the whole superstition thing of us following the schools on Monday and couldn't get them to eat. And I was like 300 feet away from them throwing those thunder chickens at them.
I know. All right. She splashed it.
I can't believe that.
It splashed it so hard I was surprised the shrimp stayed on.
Really?
Yeah. And it drifted 2 feet and And I thought, there must be a giant school of them in here.
Smile and never, let me just put the net right here.
Never
next to me
caught
I'm gonna
another fish the rest of the day. 641-1010. 641-1010. You listen to the Mo Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast on 1010 XL with Captain Scott Shank. I'm Captain Kevin Faber. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, and we'll go talk to Captain Leon Daney in a second, but I always turn on 1010XL when I'm cleaning the boat.
Yep.
And listen to Joe Cowart and Hacker and Matt Hayes and Leon, Leon Searcy. And so they're always talking, you know, what are you guys doing, you know, and I'm texting them like, go fishing.
Yeah.
Go outside. Did you see the boat ramp today?
Did you see the boat ramp? Did you see the traffic the last 3 days?
Oh, my gosh. You would have thought, Leon, today, you would have thought that it was a Saturday in July.
Yep.
And You're absolutely right. You will.
That, it's no exaggeration, bro. I went to, obviously, we go out of Comanche Cove. And Scott and I always talk to all the employees there at Freedom Boat Club. They had every boat out today.
That's 31.
They had every boat out today.
On a Thursday.
Yeah.
Just wait what tomorrow and Saturday are
it's gonna be crazy.
You know what these fish gotta be thinking? These fish gotta be going, what in the hell is going on?
Yeah, it's March. Yeah.
What are all this noise and props I hear coming over my head?
Yeah, I mean, Leon, you just have to think that outdoor stuff, you know, I mean, why not?
Kevin, I am having to dig deep into all of my bag of tricks to catch fish because there's so many boats out in so many locations that, you know, when you start heading up into a creek and you go, nope, turn around, or you get halfway, you pass one boat and you say a little prayer to the fish, guys, oh, please don't let someone be on this oyster bed.
Yep,
there's someone there. All right, turn around, let's hit the next creek. And you're going down the ditch and you can see back in the creek three T-tops. And you're like, okay, not that creek, let's keep going. You know, it's busy.
No, There's a particular spot that Scott and I fish south of the 312. We call the ramp bank, and I came out from south going that way and saw Scott over there fishing. And I had to call him and tell him. I said, "You do realize you're the third person on that spot in the last 2 hours."
Kevin and I were kind of born and raised down in that side of town, kind of thing, and it's
right.
I use that bank for different purposes,
right?
You know, than maybe what Kevin used it for, and but still fished around that same area. Like I said, just targeting different species of fish. And dude, there ain't nothing. You know, whatever little piece of bottom you think you had,
yeah,
that our little oyster bed that's across the way from there,
yeah,
there was a freaking 26 footer anchored in front of it. I'm going, I didn't think anybody knew about that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was found.
Yeah, today it was like, and I struggled. I mean, I talked about it. You know, I caught good fish on my first cast, and then after that, I was like, "What in the hell?" But with that being said, Leon, 5-6 places that I wanted to go to.
There was a boat on.
Right.
If there wasn't a boat on it, it was close enough to it that I'm not going to go in there and be a jerk.
No,
you know what
right.
I mean?
And then I got caught on some today, too. It was like, oh, man, really? You know, I haven't seen boats in this creek, you know, the last week, 10 days. And, of course, I got to have a redfish hooked up when a boat comes around the corner. It's like, damn, I just lost this one, too. Yeah. So, anyhow.
Tag, you're it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Hey, tell me about the inlet today there. It was a little spunky out there, wasn't it? I couldn't believe you went.
What? It wasn't as bad as you think, Scotty, because I got there right there at the end of the tide and the turn of the incoming, and it got nice. It did.
I'm just telling you, me and Captain Rob were out there, and I mean, Kevin was there, too. I mean, it was ugly, dude. It was rolling 3 foot coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Trolling motor was coming out of the water and everything else.
No, it wasn't anything like that when
skunky.
I got there.
No. It was skunky.
It really calmed down. But, boy, you sure got some pretty water down there.
Isn't it beautiful?
Wow.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
that was
so cool.
Did you catch anything? Did you catch anything on the rocks on that incoming tide?
Yeah.
You know what? We pulled right up. I got right next to Rob. We said our hellos to everybody, and my boy throws right out there on the second cast and pops a nice, like, 24-inch redfish, and I'm like, okay, we're on like Donkey Kong. All right, we're going to make this happen. And it didn't happen, except for the bluefish. The bluefish happened, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you and Rob each caught a legal red, what Rob told me, and he said after that, he said it was bluefish. He said, I did catch a really nice Spanish, he said. And other than that, I was out there for 30, 40 minutes, and I never lost a bait.
But Leon, I just want you guys to think about this theme that's going on here. Because I told you yesterday that I felt like I had a good day. But
right.
I never got on a bite of fish. I mean, Leon, literally, I would pull up, and, you know, I ended up cleaning, you know, like 2 26-inch reds, 2 really nice drum, a whiting, and something else, a trout or something. But those were the fish that I caught. As in, you know, I felt good
I
with
took.
What
yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't catch, you know, like other trout. It was like you caught one or two
that's
fish
it.
On a spot.
That's it.
And it did the same thing today, except it only happened to be one spot.
No, but I mean, both, and you know where I'm not going to mention where I fish, but I'm just telling you, I mean, I rode to this one creek, Leon, because I know that they've been there and I've been catching them, okay? I rode all the way down there, and I can tell you it's 5 miles south of 312 Bridge, okay? And I got 2 reds in there and a flounder, and I made 8 other stops, and either little trout or not
zero.
Even a little red or zero, came up towards Leon, caught one, I mean, really nice drum, like he was 9.5 pounds on the Boga, and like 3 other trout, and that was my day.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
And I kept them out an extra half an hour, 40 minutes, you know, because it wasn't, there just wasn't enough, like, going on, you know, enough small trout or I think I caught one little short black drum. But I'm just saying, you know, you're no hero. I mean, I am working for whatever I'm catching right now. I'm not, there's no, and let me ask all of you guys. We just had a full moon on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where did the sheephead go?
Oh, they crushed them today in San Augustine.
Where?
They crushed them today
really?
In Fernandina, too.
They crushed them today in San Augustine.
Well, I'm just saying, where are they at the deep banks? Where are they at the tree line iguanas? All those normal places, airport bank, all those normal places that we usually catch them on those shell bottoms for them spawning.
We don't catch that
No,
many,
but
though,
there's but, 2 or 3 or 4 you should
on a day. But they... I know I had 2 reports at the St. Augustine jetties today.
I guess I'm not spending enough time on them.
Well, we can't. We can't anchor like they do. We can't, you know, we can't chum. We can't, you know, we're, you know, with our clients and that current that smokes like that, you know, the guys that are really good at sheep's head fishing, they've got it figured out. They know how to do that stuff.
Oh, they throw an old anchor up in the rocks.
Exactly.
Right,
that's what I'm saying. You know,
double anchor.
They throw
right
a thunder block in the rocks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we can't fish the way that they do.
And that's the only – I mean, I love southeast wind because usually the jetties are, you know, nice south wind, okay? But, dang, when that southeast starts blowing like that, it's hell for my trolling motor to understand where it needs to go. It was going back and forth because it's trying to compensate for the outgoing tide.
Right.
And then the wind gusts back in your face from the south-southeast. Yep. So it was.
So, Leon, what made you run all the way up to the jetty today?
That's my question.
I wanted to see clean water. And I've been really struggling to produce what I consider a respectable bag limit for the day. And I saw the wind direction. I thought it would be acceptable. And, my God, I know there's just got to be fish out there. And I had two people in my boat today that I knew could fish, and I was like, we're going to make the run.
Yep.
And we had a lunch, and I said, get in, sit down, shut up, hang on, here we go. And it was 90 to nothing to get down there. We hit the tide maybe 20 minutes before the last of the outgoing, the pause, and I fished an hour of the incoming, and just caught some, you know, that nice red, whole bunch of bluefish. Darn it, I worked all the good areas on the rocks, and I said, okay, let's start working our way back up north, which we did because I got a two-hour window to work with,
yeah.
You know, between Volano and Palm Valley. So
sure.
We hit all my spots going all the way up. And we picked up a respectable bag of yellowmouth that were, you know, I'd say about 16 inches apiece. So I was happy that I picked those up too. So that, you know, you filleted five of those, and that helps. So.
Hmm.
You know,
so still, all in all, basically a slow. Not we all made
yeah,
our
we
day. All,
we make our day.
Opinion.
I mean, you know,
yep.
I think all you guys are going to agree. As long as the rod's bent, I'm not saying.
I'm telling you guys right now. I would have given anything today to catch 3 or 4 trout and 10 bluefish.
Well, the only downside is
seriously.
The only downside is if you want to do that, if you go over there to the North Jetty. Dude, they're like 6 to 8 inches long, and they.
I know,
I can't handle.
Right.
That is like catching pinfish.
Yep.
I got to go because I'm going to hurt somebody.
Yep. Leo, I threw the bottom rods on the boat for tomorrow. I mean, I've got the inshore rods in case,
right.
But I can't. God knows, I can't do that again. That great people today, great people.
Well,
they were so flippin' sweet, and we had so much fun. And I could literally tell that they had fun, even though the fishing was just, you know.
But you look, the water's perfect.
I know.
Perfect.
The current
was perfect. The water clarity, you know, Leon is great. And you just, dang, I don't know. I expected a little bit more.
Yeah,
you
sure
know?
You did.
I did too.
Well, no question. All of us did. You know? I mean, you got the conditions, man. I mean, and it's like. You know, we know where we're going, you know.
And we know and we all know what our spots are capable of doing.
Yep.
Right.
Okay? But I'm just telling you, here, now, late. I mean, going to every spot is firing a dart. I mean, I'm running 12 to 15 spots on 4 hours.
You're fishing spots that three other boats have
already fished. Because I was too busy trying to run like hell to get to my first one. Because
yeah.
After that, that's it. It's
yep.
over with.
I know.
You're backfishing a lot of people.
Let me say three things before you let me go. Okay, first of all, being a fishing guide, we're on the clock. Okay, we got a 4-hour window. And we got to
yep.
make it happen. So if we hit one spot or we hit 10 spots, we got to keep moving until we find the fish that want to feed. Okay, there may be fish at that spot, but they may not want to eat. Hey, we got to keep moving. Okay, until we get the rods bending. Number two, I am extremely scared when my clients make the first cast and whack a good fish right out of the gate, just like you said. Scares me to death. I'm like,
yep.
Oh, God, here we go. I mean, that is the kiss of death to me every time. I am mortified when that happens. And number three, yeah, I've already forgotten what number three was. Damn it. I can't believe I did that. I swear to God, I forgot what number three was.
You need to start writing your comments down before
yeah,
you even
yeah,
get
yeah,
on
yeah, just
there.
Like me. I'm sitting here taking notes.
We're taking
Leo.
Notes.
Yeah, yeah.
But, no, I mean, it is. It's crazy.
Yep.
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's there's...
And honestly, my clients, you know, because in the morning my phone rings a lot. Yours does, or we're texting, or they go, what the hell is a train horn thing? I said, that just somebody, you know, it's one of the captains. I'll get to it in a
right.
second. But
I just remember.
Leon.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, because your memories, yeah.
Just like you said, you had amazing clients that just were just as happy as just clams. And yeah. Scotty can agree with me. There's nothing better than having clients like Mark and Mary in the boat, which
yep.
don't care. They just want to have a wonderful time out there. They make your life just fantastic as a guide.
Nope. 100%
there's, you know what? I always put pressure on myself. Always.
We all got to.
Always.
Yeah.
I always.
Come on.
But today... I could tell that they were like, look, they have fished enough and hunted
yeah.
enough to know that dude, we could see them. I mean, you know, and we were on the right spot, but you can't make them eat.
Right.
That's right.
I can't do that.
No.
I mean,
but all right, we got to take a break. Basically, real quick,
yep.
What my clients talk about, and I'm sure you guys heard it before, we always talk about this. We have a great network of guides.
Yep.
The only reason I'm on the phone calling somebody or vice versa, we just need to all spread out and figure it out, and then we can not all join in the same spot, but we understand where everybody's at.
Or all grieve together.
All grieve together. Which there was a lot of that today. Yeah, everybody was texting back and forth, though. Everybody was crying.
Yeah. Leon, thanks, buddy. Great job.
Bye, buddy.
Bye, man. Take care. Yeah.
See you 641-1010, 641-1010. Listen to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. And when we come back, we'll talk to Captain Chip Wingo, and we'll take a look at the
forecast.
Marine forecast. We'll be right back.
Beautiful.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Michael, you're doing a great job with the intro music.
Yeah, I like
digging
it.
You can always listen to us every Thursday night from 7 to 8 here
on
1010XL. Captain Kevin Favor, myself, Captain Scott Shank. Let's bring up Captain Chip Wingo real quick because he might as well listen to this too because
the
weather's pretty daggum pretty.
And Chip, I got to correct my good buddy over here, Captain Scott Shank, on something just real quick.
Okay.
First off tonight, southeast 10 to 15, 2 to 4. Tomorrow, 10 to 15, 2 to 4. And Saturday, for your weekend, guys, this is crazy. South-southwest 5 to 10, becoming southeast in the afternoon. That is a summertime forecast, 2 to 3. Saturday's going to be beautiful. Sunday, you said it was supposed to blow northeast.
Or is it Monday? Well, it's one day.
All right. Sunday, east-southeast 5 to 10, 2 to 3.
Okay.
Monday, northwest at 5, becoming north-northeast in the afternoon.
Okay, then it's Monday coming in front.
Okay. So on Tuesday, northeast at 5.
Yeah.
I mean,
I never said it was going to blow. I just told you it was going northeast. What the hell? Why are you picking on me? I never said it was going to blow.
Chip, oh my God, we got a northeaster coming in. Don't you know? We're not going to be able
to
fish.
Northeasterly.
Yeah, it's 5 miles an hour. Holy cow, it's going to take over the world.
I'm going to tell you what it blew this afternoon.
Yeah, didn't it, though?
Yeah, I know.
It did. Hey,
I know.
I heard the ad earlier for everybody listening. Tire Outlet is awesome.
You went,
great
took
service,
advantage
great
of that sponsorship. I like it.
Yep, great deal. Great people. But back to fishing.
Yeah.
Well, remember we talked the last couple of weeks about optimum top water temperature?
Yep.
Yeah, well, today was 75.6 when I started this morning, and the top water bite was on.
Was it really?
We had a – remember what you said about first cast?
Yep.
So, roll down, client never caught a fish on top water, and that's his big deal. He wants to catch fish on top water. I'm like, okay. So he brings four of his own rods, which all have big spooks on them. And I said, grab that bone-colored one right there. That'll be the one. So he throws, and I'm watching him throw. And he throws a couple times, and I'm like, can I give you a couple pointers? And he's like, sure. So I grab one of his other rods, which has got a red and white big spook, not the little ones, the big ones. So I chunk it out there, and I'm like, look, you can work it this way. You know, and I'm walking the dog in big swoops. Or I said, you can, and I cast again, or I said, you can double click and then stop and then start. Mm-hmm. And I go, threw it out, double click, and I go, then when you stop, and about that time, boom, 6.5 pound trout.
No way.
Yeah. And we didn't get another bite for about 45 minutes. And so we, you know, I said, listen, I said, when you throw top water, a lot of times it's a grind. I said, you just got to cover space and keep going and going and going. So anyway, to make a long story short, we got down the bank, have a humongous snook eat, lost it, took the lure, broke off.
Really?
Yep. Had four or five more. I mean, every single bite we had today on top water was a big fish. So, I mean, we grinded for 4.5 hours towing topwater. So finally I said, look, I got a spot. The water's starting to come in, or it's still going out, rather. I said, the water's going out. I said, let's go hit this spot. We'll probably have about 20 minutes of good water on it. First cast, he gets a 30-inch red and lands it. Finally, we broke his curse, and I was ecstatic. So
that's awesome.
Insane.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
So, but it was fun because it was one guy. Both my charters today, I had a double. Both charters were single guys, and one of them was a regular. Both of them were regular clients. But it was fun. This afternoon, not as much fun. Lots of boat traffic. Went into a couple good spots. Fish just didn't want to cooperate. But it was crazy. I mean, this morning, getting to watch him throw the top. I put the rod down after I caught that one fish. I was like, I'm not doing that again. I just stuck the rod down and just watched him the rest of the morning. But it was fun. But 75 degrees seems to be the temperature, and there's still a lot of big trout hanging down in the valley right now. So, you know, but crazy.
Let me ask you a question. This is always – I know we go to a piece of bank that we catch trout on or we catch reds on, and start. How far do you go before you pull the plug on it? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you had a short line that stretch from Casicola to Guana, you know, or whatever, okay? Like a mile and a half long shoreline.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to go like 100 yards and go, well, dang, we ain't had to blow up this kind of my gooder ones. Are you going to keep going? Or are you going to pull around and make, you know, a quarter mile run?
No, well, today, where I was fishing today is a lot of good. We had high water just starting to fall. All right, so, you know, if you're fishing through the valley, there's tons of trees, there's tons of stuff. You know where the little roll downs are. I mean, if you fish enough, you know where a lot of stuff is. I got on the trolling motor, honestly, and just kept going.
Okay.
I said, we're going to go until we find fish. And then once we found fish, I'll spot lock for a little bit, and we'll you know, fan cast the area, work it pretty hard. You know, there's ladyfish. You know, I saw ladyfish today. I saw Spanish mackerel. I saw little pogies. I mean, I'm like, this is going to be good. And we saw a lot of action, too, there were fish feeding.
Yep.
With that being said, you know, we lost that huge bluefish a couple days ago. It was the same guy. It was the same guy I lost that huge bluefish with. Because I had him twice this week. And, you know, I'm seeing it's weird because it's early for a lot of things, but there's still a lot of fish that I don't think should be there now that are still there. So, you know, like the big trout, I usually don't see them when it starts warming up like that. I don't catch them down in the valley as much.
Right.
But,
by the way, that was a really good question, Scott. Because
I bump and move a lot. If I'm
well,
top water.
With me, and I don't throw top water anymore. I mean, you know what?
I'm just here to tell you that
I miss it. I miss it tremendously.
God, it gives me a heart attack.
But
I can't do it anymore.
When I had my flats boat, you know, and these specific spots and Chip, I'm sure, and Scott, it was interesting because I would, like you said, I would fish miles of the ditch. You know, I mean, it's not like throwing a jig head and a shrimp or a pop of cork or, you know, you just get on the stretch and go, you know.
Yep.
But there was always that blade of grass or that little point or there was always and I never figured out why you caught more fish or had more opportunities on that particular little tiny point you know, it would be that blade of grass that was out by itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like, gosh, they're right there. And it was like, why the hell is that fish hanging out?
Because that's what I'm trying to get at. Am I wrong in thinking this? Okay. Chip, the runouts you fish up, you know where I'm talking about. Okay. Where you were at the other day when I was south of you. Okay,
yep.
Then I got my others that are around the corner from that. These are just trout spots. I go in there with a pop of cork and a shrimp, and I catch up to 18-inch fish, let's just say.
Right.
There. Okay? So my mind says, well, now I'm throwing a big, huge, 6-inch long, 7-inch long Zara spook.
Uh-huh.
I'm, me, I'm still going back to that same old 14 to 18 inch trout spot. Am I doing it wrong by leaving that totally alone and going to something that I'd never catch trout on but relates to a trout bank?
No.
Is there a big fish mixed in with those, even though we're only catching 14 to 17 inch fish there?
Most of the time, no.
That's what I'm getting at.
Most of the time, no. If there is,
so am I doing it wrong by stopping just because I caught trout there?
Well, if you're throwing big topwater plugs, yes. No, it's if there's trout there, there's trout there. Okay, that's not what I'm saying.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I've never caught a big trout at these runouts. Okay, but I have it stuck in my head that's my trout bank.
And Chip, you could chime in. If my experience has been, if you're catching 12 to 17 inch trout, your 25 incher's not in there. No. That's not where she is. Yeah. She's a loner. You know, just not a schooling fish.
So is that staying on oyster beds that are singular off the main shoreline that you'd feel more comfortable with?
It could be. Like I said, and again, Chip does this a whole lot more than me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But when I did it, and I did it a lot, it was very strange to me, Chip, where that big trout would hang out. You know, I mean, it just didn't. I was always like, why that little tiny point or something? But if you fish a stretch enough, just like we do with spots, you start figuring that out. And not only that, Chip, I'm sure you've seen this too. All of a sudden, you're like, guys, this next 100 yards, we got a hell of a chance. Okay,
and
we need to fish hard to this next 100 yards. Pay attention to what you're doing, and then that next 100 yards, you might be like, Let's pick up the trolling motor a little bit faster and move past, because I don't catch very many fish here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you're throwing top waters, man, you're covering some ground, Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, if I was doing it wrong, if I'm going to, I catch trout there, I go to the little, I go right back to where I always catch trout out,
right,
which are not big ones.
Well, another thing, Scott, like the spot where I was fishing the other day, I think I've caught 10 or 12 trout off that spot, that area where I was the other day.
Yep.
With topwater plugs that were over 8 pounds. But with that being said, that was at the high drop fall water. And when I was catching the smaller fish, I never caught the big ones there. Does that make sense?
Yep, sure.
So there's still the small ones there, but a lot of times I would catch the bigger fish at the higher water in the first and low light, high water, and then when it fell, I'd catch smaller trout later, but never a big one. I mean, I catch 2-pounder, but not, seven, sixes, eights, anything like that.
But it's so funny.
And a lot of times it takes a big bait to catch those fish.
Well, that's what I was going to this next, because it's so funny. I've never caught a big trout on a jig head.
My biggest trout are all been on a jig head.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, if you went out there with somewhat of a Carolina rig with, 16 inches a leader, a little bit longer than what we normally fish, with light lead, and just kind of throw that mullet with the tide and let it kind of ease on down, I've caught more big trout that way
or
with a popping cork than I have with a jig head, is all I'm saying.
No, and I've always said, I mean, it's, a jig head's not the best trout presentation, but my two biggest
trout. It's either mud minnows or I've never caught good ones.
Or on a jig head, the mud minnow.
I mean, I caught a good trout this week, but he wasn't no 6-pounder. He was 3 or 4.
Still, that's a hell of a fish.
Yeah, it was a nice fish.
That's a great fish.
But caught him on a poppy cork with a shrimp.
Well, but that's the way, I mean, if you think about Chip, when he grew up, you either threw fish finder rigs with a mullet on the bottom, or you had some kind of a float for trout.
And mine was a cigar slip float.
Yeah, exactly.
Cigar slip floats.
That's what I'm saying?
And your 3/4 1-ounce lead used to beat the ever-living God out of the end of the cork where it finally split all the way up.
Yeah.
And all you had left was a little plastic straw in the middle. It was like, well, I guess I got to get a new cork.
But my point is that that's the way we fish. Redfish on the bottom, trout on the floats. And it's not totally like that. Now,
no.
We catch a lot of redfish on floats, bro.
I mean,
a lot of redfish. And like I said, again, I'm not saying go out there and throw mud minnows with a 1/4-ounce jig head to catch trout, but they love the two biggest trout I've ever caught Both of them over 11 pounds have been on on a quarter ounce jig head and a big fat mud minnow. And I was fishing for reds, okay, and I was catching reds.
And the next cast, he just ate it.
Yep.
Really?
Yep. I mean, I'm not here to tell you that I'm here to tell you it was a fluke is what I'm really now. The biggest trout I've ever caught on topwater plugs is 8 or 9 pounds. You know, I've never caught one in the double digits.
I know the Carolina rig, I caught my two biggest, and one was 8 3/4, the other was 8 1/2.
Yeah. Yep.
Caught them at the same creek, same drift.
But Chip, I honestly, I've caught so many big trout on a Carolina rig and a live mullet.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, 1/2 ounce lead, you pitch it up in them deep holes in the summertime.
Exactly, summertime.
For me, August and September.
I did, that's when we did it too.
When we caught the heck out of a good one.
Yep.
But this is 20 years ago.
The only reason I've caught really big trout on artificials and topwaters is because that's the way I target them.
That's right.
You know? So it's, I got into a mindset years ago when I was doing a lot of charters just for, artificial charters. And that's what we threw. We threw topwater plugs, big bomber long A's, and stuff like that, and caught big trout. But we fished certain areas for them at certain times of the year. And, that's all I threw on them. I didn't throw bait at them. And then, every once in a while, when you're throwing bait on charters, that, like you said, for redfish, you catch a big trout.
Yep.
Just a weird area, so.
It is. All right, brother. We got to run. Appreciate it. Great job.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, guys. See ya.
Yep. Bye. Yep, you too. You too. 641-1010, 641-1010. We've got one more small segment to go. If you want to give Captain Scott and I a call on the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast on 1010XL. Be right back.
Hey, I thought you said we brought everything we needed on the boat.
I did.
Well, where's the cooler with the drinks?
Oh, I must have forgot that.
And the sandwiches?
Well, I put them right over... Whoops.
Fine, as long as you have lures and extra hooks.
But I thought you were gonna...
Then how could you say we brought everything we needed on the boat?
I did. We're both wearing life jackets.
Yeah, good point. But I'm still really hungry.
Life jackets save lives. Visit wearitflorida.com.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Oh, my goodness. It sounds much better here than it did on my 8-track.
I was air guitaring for a minute right there. Huh? Yeah. That's right. We are back here on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I may pop offshore tomorrow, bro.
Dude, gosh, you got me thinking.
I mean, I
got three people. I can't remember though if we're Kitty involved in here.
Well, I mean,
the only thing is, both of the, a couple boats made the just like we talked about that, and it was a little swelly because they both came back early. They got sick, both charters.
Swelly though, but not rough.
Not rough, just swelly.
Yeah. And it's
and they were on the hook.
Yeah, they were on the hook. A couple things. I'm dying to go out that inlet to see if I can find bait, because I think I can find bait, and I'm not gonna go anywhere if I find bait. I'm gonna stay right there and fish those bait pods.
Not being mean, but you and Mr. Travis, what, 2 years ago?
Oh yeah.
When them big drum fish,
the big drum, and
I mean,
redfish,
you don't ever know. They're going that way. They're headed northbound.
Yep. So I think I'm gonna do something different tomorrow.
I'm getting tired of the grind too.
The boat traffic inshore is. And tomorrow's going to be beautiful, Friday, and people need to get out. And by the way, people, get out. Go out on the water.
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah,
we get it.
Yeah.
I just wish there was like the little bullet bonitas would show up or the Spanish would show up just to
go out there and
kind of mess with them.
We don't know. Nobody's been out there.
This time of year, the little bullet bonitas are showing up.
Yeah. The 15, 17-inch Spanish.
Yeah, and they're fun. I mean, crawl around or cast to them and drift through them or whatever. But it's just something – just out of the norm to do. Because I mean, not
I need to break the monotony a little bit.
That's what I'm trying to talk about. Because I've been in this river since August of last year, and it's starting to get a little old.
And I've been in it since September of last year. I haven't been offshore since September.
Nope. So that was the last time.
Yep. So, folks, make sure you join us, me and Jeff Loggeman, Captain Kirk Waltz, on Saturday morning from 7 to 10 with the Nimnik Outdoors Show.
Yep.
And you and I are fishing tomorrow. And
I got to fish Saturday, too. And
you got to fish Saturday? Oof. Oh, boy. I'd rather the Nimnik Outdoors Show.
I'd rather scratch my back with wire than I would go Saturday.
Michael, great job, as usual, for Captain Scott
Shank. I love the ACDC.
I'm Captain Kevin Favor, and once again, folks, stay safe. But here's the deal. Go for a walk. Go outside.
Dude, it's too beautiful not to.
Go fishing. Go surf fishing. Whatever you can do to get outside, it's the weather's absolutely amazing. Y'all be safe. Take care of yourself. See ya.
See ya.